Army veteran and chairman of Bunker Labs, Doug McCormick, talks about the mission of Bunker Labs and his own entrepreneurial ventures. Coming up next on Veteran on the Move.
Welcome to Veteran on the Move. If you're a veteran in transition, an entrepreneur wannabe, or someone still stuck in that J-O-B trying to escape, this podcast is dedicated to your success. And now, your host, Joe Crane.
My good friend and fellow veteran Bob Ulin has come out with his new book titled Transitions 2.0. This is the best book for any transitioning veteran. Check out Transitions 2.0 at veteranonthemove.com/transitions. Hey, I'm talking with Army veteran Doug McCormick, currently chairman of Bunker Labs. And Doug, before we get to talking about business entrepreneurship and what you're doing with Bunker Labs, take us back and tell us about your Army career.
Sure. So I actually graduated from the United States Military Academy in the early 90s quickly realized that after 4 years of school, you actually got to learn to be a service member. And so I spent a little bit more than a year at Fort Benning, Georgia, doing infantry officer basic course, airborne school, ranger school, that kind of stuff. And then ultimately served out in Hawaii. And so I was there for almost 4 years. Had a really great experience. Having said that, that was the mid-90s. We were going through tremendous cuts. As a very young, impatient guy, I was convinced that the peace dividend was alive and well, and that maybe there wasn't a need for guys like me in the green suit. And so that's probably, in retrospect, it was obviously wrong, but probably impatient and immature. But ultimately decided that it was a great experience, but wanted to try a different career. And so I got out in the mid-90s and decided that I needed additional help in transitioning. So I went back to business school at Harvard for 2 years, kind of figured that I liked money and finance. And so from there, went to Morgan Stanley in Manhattan for a couple years. And I've essentially been a professional investor for the last 20. So working with entrepreneurs more on the capital side to help them execute their business plans. And one of the things that I've become involved with in the last several years that you mentioned was the Bunker Labs. And really that's a product of, I just think it's an amazing organization with an amazing mandate. I'm very interested in staying connected with the veteran community. Very enjoyable to kind of stay connected with people that I feel like we have similar values. And I just think the leadership team at the Bunker is phenomenal. And so I find it very rewarding to be part of that, a small part of that story.
Well, that's awesome. So we've had a couple of graduates from Bunker Labs, and we've actually had a couple of people that on the podcast that have taken over some of the local, they still call them local Bunker Lab. Mm-hmm. You know, the there's one in Raleigh Durham, and there's one here in Kansas City. I've had the directors of those on the show, actually before they got involved in Bunker Labs. So very familiar with what Bunker Labs is doing and expanding across the country. So tell us what's going on with Bunker Labs and veteran entrepreneurship.
Sure. Well, I think, first of all, let me just share the vision. The vision is that every veteran in America has access to the community, the network, and the resources to realize their entrepreneurial potential. And it's important to say that doesn't mean that everybody that participates in the Bunker is going to become an entrepreneur, but it gives them a safe space and an opportunity to explore entrepreneurship and decide if it's right for them. And we do this through a variety of things. We do it through networking opportunities, educational resources, both online and in person, and really try to create a collaborative environment where folks can explore what entrepreneurship looks like. And, I think that the mandate is really premised on the belief that through their experiences, vets have attributes that make them very successful entrepreneurs. And the statistics would say that there are many more veterans today that are interested in becoming entrepreneurs than actually do. And so, you know, we think by helping vets realize their entrepreneurial potential, that's good for veterans. It's good for active duty service members because we can attract good soldiers because they know they can do cool stuff when they get out. And it's good for America by putting people to work and, you know, keeping America moving. So it's just a great mandate. And I think an opportunity to have a positive impact on a lot of folks.
So what are some of the unique financial challenges that veterans face, particularly as they're getting out, going through transition, and if they're wanting to start their own business?
Yeah. So I think the first thing that I think a lot of vets miss is that when you get out of service, your financial circumstances are really often very different from, you know, kind of mainstream America. So for starters, in many cases, when vets get out, they have limited financial resources. You know, candidly, we haven't, you know, been making much in a way that it's often you're in a position to have lots of financial flexibility. You know, veterans are more likely to have family obligations, more likely to have been married, more likely to have been dependents. And so that kind of can influence their risk profile. And the other thing that I think is really important relative to being successful in entrepreneurship is they often have a less developed professional network. And that's really a result of two things. They don't have exact relevant professional experiences. And also, I'm sure when you were in service, when I was in service, there's the concept of you move every several years. And so essentially you're uprooted from your community and your network to create a new one. And so all those things kind of combine to make it challenging to effectively transition. I think on the positive side, you know, veterans today, I think, have a very good brand awareness among corporate America and America at large that these people are highly capable and have great skills. I think the veteran experience often really helps people develop their leadership skills. And I think there are a variety of resources to facilitate transition. We talked about the bunker as being one of them, but also things like the GI Bill, which can be a huge asset for vets that are making that transition.
What are some of the characteristics of veterans that helps make them great entrepreneurs?
I think first and foremost is just perseverance. You know, I think the active duty experience gives you lots of opportunities to be humbled and lots of opportunities for failure. And that great thing about that is that teaches you that sometimes the most important thing is to, you know, keep putting one step in front of the other and keep moving forward. So first and foremost, in my mind, it's perseverance and discipline. The second thing is, I think the veteran experience or the active duty experience gives you a chance to really develop your teamwork skills and your communication skills. And so if you think about those three things, perseverance, communication and leadership, in my mind, those are the real important aspects of being a successful entrepreneur. You know, the financial acumen and some of the domain experience related to whatever entrepreneurial venture you pursue can always be learned. But those the three others are real life skills that I think serve the veteran community very well.
So as far as the bunker is concerned, you all see a lot of veterans come through the door. Have you noticed any common themes of, because like, what is it, like 98% of businesses fail within the first year. So the odds are stacked against you if you want to go into entrepreneurship to begin with. But have you noticed any common themes with the folks coming through the bunker that you immediately, like, can you immediately tell if someone's going to make it or not? Or can you immediately tell if the idea is a fail? You talk along those lines a little bit?
Yeah. So I guess a couple themes that I observe. First of all, you know, you highlight a very high percentage of entrepreneurial ventures fail. I think the interesting dynamic is every entrepreneur considers themselves to be the outlier. And I definitely see that within the veteran community. I think vets just have this confidence from some of the experiences that I talked about earlier that make them feel like they can beat the odds. And so I think that's kind of a necessary prerequisite. The other thing I would say in terms of two common themes that I see amongst people that are vets pursuing entrepreneurship and also vets who are interested in the bunker experience is they are looking for a peer group and a support network as they evaluate what can be a very scary transition. And so, you know, I think half the battle is just having somebody to talk to when times are rough, or to bounce ideas off, or to get a sanity check to make sure you're not crazy. The other thing that I've been really impressed by and is just inspiring to me is there's still a real commitment to service. And so I see a lot of the businesses that vets are coming up with are, you know, they're entrepreneurial ventures, but they're rooted in a belief that through entrepreneurship, they can do something to better the community and solve a real problem in the community. And so I think once a veteran, in many cases, you always, you know, kind of have an aspiration to serve.
Yeah, I guess that's great to hear about the service aspect of it. What else were you going to say?
Yeah, I guess just the one thing you say, hey, can you tell if a venture is going to fail, you know, out of the box? You know, I think one challenge that the veteran community has, especially for those folks that pursue entrepreneurship right after transitioning out of services, we often don't have a lot of contextual experience. And so it's hard to know, is my idea a great idea? Is it an ambitious idea? Is it, you know, a bold idea or a dumb idea? And I think that's one of the real benefits of an organization like The Bunker is you get other people with different experiences where you can bounce ideas off of in a way that you can get real kind of not market feedback, but good professional feedback to help you refine your ideas and your thinking.
Okay, so I know Bunker in the Box has a number of different programs, or I said Bunker in the Box, that being one of the programs for Bunker Labs. And you have some in-house programs, and you mentioned some networking and support groups and that kind of thing. So if somebody that doesn't really know much about Bunker Labs right now that's listening, if they go to the Bunker Labs facility that's near where they live, mm-hmm. What can they expect when they walk in the door as far as looking for help with getting a business started?
Yeah, I think, first of all, you actually did a really good job of outlining kind of the three, in my mind, core programs. You know, there's an online education version. There's a more immersive, intense educational option. And then there's this attempt to create a community or an ecosystem where you can explore your idea in a kind of almost a safe space, but almost a laboratory, if you will, where you can get input from others. And what I think is so cool about it is it's very organic. And by that, what I mean is I think every experience is different and it's based on the natural needs of that entrepreneur when they come in the door. And I think the one universal theme that I always see is a welcoming arms. And, you know, there's this expectation in the veteran community. If somebody calls you that's had a similar experience, you're going to take that call. And if you can help, you're legitimately going to try. And I think the organization's kind of organized in a way that there's a real opportunity to pay it forward.
Yeah. And now, are most of the Bunker Labs programs, are they actually free to veterans?
Yes.
Can anybody walk in, or you actually have to apply and get accepted?
It depends on the program, but in general, the construct is that anybody can participate in taking advantage of the Bunker resources. If you're not a veteran, there's a remuneration involved with that. But for the veteran community, these are designed to be, for the most part, free resources.
Okay. And I want to ask this, like, as far as free, because there's a lot of phenomenal organizations out there helping veterans get into entrepreneurship, and most of them are free. Have you ever run into the issue that because it's free, a lot of folks show up and then don't really take it that serious?
You know, I don't believe we have. And I think that's a self-selection bias where, you know, the kind of people that show up at the Bunker actually believe that their time is very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think they look at it as free. They look like, you know, they look like it like, hey, I'm paying myself to be here because I could be out, you know, doing something else really impactful with this time. So my general sense is everybody views their time as really important. And because of that, they value the interaction.
Well, that's good to hear. I've talked with a number of people involved in other programs, and sometimes that's one of the sticking points is, you know, maybe that some of the other places aren't, maybe there's not much of a selection process up front to validate the individual's motivation and that kind of thing. But so it's good to hear that. But because a lot of these programs, there's so many of them, like guys are almost getting pummeled with like so much opportunity. They don't even know which one to pick or which one to get involved in. Yeah. And most of them are free, which is great, but it's almost like a free overload for a lot of folks.
Well, and I think one of the things that is helpful, and I kind of mentioned this early on, is it is a very organic experience. And so, you know, for you, let's say you're an established entrepreneur and you're got a fair amount of experience, you may create a different experience in terms of what's helpful to you, where you may look for a certain, hey, I want to improve my financial planning capabilities, you know, so that's one approach you may take. And so I think there's a real opportunity to structure it in a way where you're there for the high impact things for you, but that may be different for others.
All right. That's great. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Army veteran Bob Ulan knows the struggles veterans face in the transition process and has dedicated his post-retirement years to helping veterans successfully transition into the civilian sector. His new book, Transitions 2.0, is one of the best books for any veteran facing the transition process. You can find Transitions 2.0 at veteranonthemove.com/transitions. Also, Bob Ulan is the chairman and CEO of the Center for Transitional Leadership. CTL seeks to assist and empower Armed Forces personnel during their transition from military service to private sector employment, with particular focus on helping military men and women position themselves to be sought-after candidates in the civilian workforce. I have the pleasure of serving on the board of directors for CTL, and you can check out the CTL website by going to veteranonthemove.com/CTL. Okay, we're back talking with Doug McCormick, who's chairman of Bunker Labs. Now, Doug, up until this point, we've been talking primarily about Bunker Labs. It's a great program, and there's a lot of locations all around the United States, and we encourage any veterans or I meant to ask this, are spouses also eligible or veteran members of families eligible to get involved?
Yeah, absolutely eligible. Great. To become involved. Anybody is, and candidly, I don't know about what the economics of that are, but it's de minimis even if there are.
Okay, great. So, but in addition to Bunker Labs, and the reason you're involved and interested in Bunker Labs is you're a bit of an entrepreneur yourself. So take us back a little ways and tell us, you know, have you always been an entrepreneur, or when did you start getting this whole entrepreneurial thing?
Sure. So I'm going to date myself here as an old guy. So I got out of service in 95, went back to business school in 97. And I will tell you, just as a contextual point, no one really talked about entrepreneurship in business school back then. It just was not near as prevalent of a concept as it is today.
Yeah.
And so to a certain extent, entrepreneurship found me rather than me finding it. I studied finance in business school. I was an econ undergrad, and so I've always liked the financial markets. And when I left business school, I actually became an employee. So I was an employee at a big investment bank in Manhattan. So I did that for a number of years, and then I joined a small investment firm where I was still an employee, and I did that for about another 5 years. And then over time, with more experience and a better knowledge of the business, the concept of becoming my own boss and an entrepreneur just became much less scary. And so I guess more than a decade ago now, I co-founded my own investment firm with two partners. And so it was really kind of not a planned, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but more of it just kind of happened naturally, where at a certain point in time, I had the financial wherewithal and the skills where I thought I could make that transition pretty easily. You know, you asked me if I've always been an entrepreneur, and I think that's a really interesting question, because I would tell you that I was, but I didn't always know it. And yeah. By that, what I mean is, you know, I had many jobs where I was an employee. So in the Army, I'm an employee. At the bank, I was an employee. But the older I get, the more I believe that we're all business owners, even if you're an employee, and you're really well served to think of yourself as an entrepreneur, because essentially entrepreneurs are simply selling their labor. And even if you're just selling your labor to one company, i.e. an employee, if you think like an entrepreneur in terms of, am I selling my skills to the right employer or the right customer? Am I developing the right skills and the right brand? I think that's a really valuable way to think about managing a career.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I was a kid, it was always referred to as an inventor. I want to be an inventor, you know, Thomas Edison type. And I've had 1,000 great ideas of all different kinds of products, but inventor, you know, invents a product, but an entrepreneur sees a need in the marketplace and fulfills that need. And that he may fulfill that with a product or a service, but entrepreneur takes it a lot farther than just an inventor. An inventor just basically invents the gadget. And that's about where the inventor stops. But it takes an entrepreneur to turn it into a business.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I'm really excited about the positive impact that this whole philosophy can have for our country. You know, because I really do believe that young people today are taught about thinking about entrepreneurship and thinking about, you know, meeting those unfulfilled needs. And I think in aggregate, that creates just a lot more opportunity for everybody.
Yeah, somebody was, I forget who this was, but somebody was saying a few weeks ago, they were like, you know why this whole entrepreneurship thing's so big right now? I'm like, well, I don't really know. But he goes, well, it's because there's no jobs. So everybody's got to figure out something to do on their own.
Yeah.
There's a lot of truth to that. I think there's a big shift in jobs. You know, instead of a lot of the big factories and the big companies where you can work there at one place for 40 years right there in your hometown, that rarely exist, if at all, anywhere now. So it's a total shift in the workforce.
I totally agree. I think it's interesting. Two aspects of that. You know, I actually think there are lots of jobs. It's debatable whether there are lots of jobs that people want. Mm-hmm. And there's a very different social contract. So, you know, statistically, my granddad, for example, or my dad, likely had maybe 2, maybe 3 jobs in a, you know, 35, 40 year career. Mm-hmm. And it was a really long term relationship. Today's millennial is likely to have over 11 jobs on average over a career. And so that job mobility, can create real opportunity if you manage it well, but B, can create real risk. And it kind of gets back to my point. Even if you are an employee, you're kind of an entrepreneur because you always, in some way, will be subject to looking for a job, whether you did it on your own volition or you had to because you know, the old job went away. And this whole concept of a side hustle has become very prominent where, you know, people have other projects that they do on the side for fun or for skill development or for money. And that's really entrepreneurship at its very basic form.
Absolutely. So Doug, you actually have a book out and it's called Family Yep. Inc.
Yep. So Family Inc., the full title is Family Inc., Using Business Principles to Maximize Your Family's Wealth. And this is kind of a product of my own financial journey. And, you know, I mentioned that, you know, coming out of school or coming out of the Army, I went back to business school. And that was a wonderful experience and a horrible experience all in one. It was wonderful because I got plugged into a really interesting network of people. I learned a lot of new skills. But I went from, you know, essentially having no debt to graduating with probably student loans and other debts in excess of probably $150,000. And so really struggled to pay my way through school. I had a young family and a child at the time. And so that was a difficult transition for me financially. And one of the key takeaways that I realized there was financial security is not necessarily about working hard. It's about working smart. And when I was trying to figure out these things about how to spend my money, how to invest, how to get insurance, I didn't feel like there was really anything out there that was written for people that have high potential, but want advice in kind of plain English. And so that's my attempt at Family Inc. It's essentially written for folks that are trying to take control of their financial security, accumulate wealth, but don't necessarily have a formal education in it, but are smart and looking for sophisticated advice. And the basic premise of the book is that if we look at ourselves or our family as a business would evaluate its decisions, there's a whole science around entrepreneurship and business management. And a lot of those techniques can be applied to your personal situation from a financial perspective. And so my experience has been when you talk about financial security or financial planning with most people, they immediately gravitate to like budgets, and investments. But the reality is there's a lot more to good financial planning. It includes things like, how do you evaluate investments in education? How do you manage your career effectively? How do you put together an investment program or an insurance program, et cetera? And so my basic pitch is that every family needs a chief financial officer, and that's essentially one person in the family that's kind of looking out after that big picture. And so, you know, the book is something that I'm certainly passionate about, and I've used to engage with the veteran community for people that are transitioning back at schools, different veteran service organizations, because I think, you know, this economic empowerment for the veteran community is a real critical part to the health and vibrancy of entrepreneurship among that community.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of my own frustrations is I'm definitely the CFO of the family. I've read all the books. I get it. I got the plan. But I have a really hard time getting anybody else on board with me. I'm constantly like, don't spend. And they're like, why not? You know, dealing with kids and everything. And it gets really frustrating with me because I just feel like, you know, the rest of the family doesn't have any concept of what building wealth and building a financial future is all about. It's this very short-sightedness. I got $50 in my checking account. What can I go spend it on? That's like happens all the time. I've actually looked around for some simple slideshows that I can present to the family. Things like, okay, this is the advantage of dollar cost averaging. This is the advantage of compound interest. You know, wouldn't it Ben Franklin that said something like, compound interest is one of the greatest inventions of like mankind, or something like that.
Yeah, like the eighth wonder of the world, or something.
I think that's it. Yeah, which is hilarious because, hey, isn't it true that Ben Franklin gave the city of Philadelphia or something like that a little chunk of money, and he said, "You have to let it compound and not touch it for, you know, 150 years or something like that." Have you heard that story?
Have not, but I believe it. And I know he had all kinds of really interesting, simple, but really powerful financial advice even back then.
Yeah. So, you know, continuing on with Family Inc., you know, how does the CFO of the family get everybody else on board without coming across as a tightwad and just telling people not to spend money?
Yeah. So first of all, this is really hard. Let's be honest, right? So I find that becoming financially knowledgeable and really understanding all the tools available to make sure you're financially secure is not something that you should expect an 18-year-old to be able to do. It's a journey. And so one of my recommendations is get started early. Like, these are the kind of things you should be talking to your kids about at a very young age, because it's going to take 10, 20 or, you know, longer years to really have them grasp all the concepts. The second thing I'd tell you is I think, there are everyday examples all around us that really make these concepts come home. And so, for example, every time I go to buy a car, you know, I take one of my kids with me. We, you know, research it. Then we go think about financing. We talk about interest rate loans. And so in everyday living, there are lots of good lessons that you can take advantage of to make sure you're teaching your kids the concepts. And just this whole concept of, does financial planning imply you need to be a tightwad? Obviously, savings is great. One of the things that I preach, though, is it's a lot easier and more fun to find ways to grow your wealth than it is to save your way to wealth. And I think that's a really interesting way to kind of pivot that conversation. So rather than, you know, talking to your kids about how much they're saving, which they should still be doing, if you can talk to your kids about, hey, if you get this kind of education, your expected lifetime learning earnings can look like this if you pursue this kind of career or this entrepreneurial path, as opposed to if you make these choices. And so I try to get people focused on, how do I maximize my labor value over my lifetime? And then how do I put together an investment portfolio that maximizes, you know, my long-term appreciation potential after tax, after fees, after inflation, all of those things that create drag. But anyways, I think that's a little more of an exciting way to talk about it, so people don't feel like they're going to deprive themselves to be financially secure.
Yeah. So speaking of growing your wealth, what's your opinion of Bitcoin?
Oh, man. So my opinion is, and I've learned this over many years of investing, I always make it a point to not opine on things that I don't feel like I fully understand. And so the reality is I think it's a very interesting innovation. I think there are real world problems that it's addressing. So back to your concept of it's a classic entrepreneurial opportunity where people see a need. How to value that, I think, is a really interesting question. And I can't get my head around the valuation, to be honest, but that may be a product of my still nascent understanding.
I'm the same way. I'm like, okay, how did, 'cause my son started bugging me about it like 4 years ago. Bitcoin. I'm like, come on, what are you talking about? And I tried reading about it. I was like, I don't get it. Of course, now he's like, see, I told you so.
Yeah.
It's like it hit like 10 grand yesterday or something ridiculous. But it does present some interesting concepts. The concept of currency not being controlled by a centralized government in a certain country anymore. It's a very weird, I still don't really understand how it works, or I don't know. I don't get it. That's why I always ask people, I'm like, what do you think of this?
So I would say, and this applies to all stores of value. I have less comfort in commodities, whether it be gold, whether it be currencies, whether it be, you know, timber, for example, as good stores of value. And I prefer businesses that generate cash flow. And so in my mind, you know, for all those commodities, you intrinsically have to predict where that value is going based on supply and demand. And that's a really tough one for me. But if I buy a business that I know consistently generates profit, it feels to me like I kind of get paid along the way. And it's not just about guessing the end state intrinsic value. It's about guessing the cash flows that are generated along the way. And that just feels like a much safer bet to me. So that's a long-winded way of saying I really like equities in general. They can be volatile from time to time, but the underlying businesses themselves are not so volatile. Mm-hmm. And if you take a long-term picture or take a long-term view, I think people are generally well compensated to own that short-term volatility.
I agree. Well, hey, Doug, unfortunately, we're about out of time. I do want to give you the last word. So if you'll give us a shout-out about if we want to contact you or your company, and then if you could finish up with, you know, with what your involvement with Bunker Labs and your own entrepreneurial experiences, if you're talking with that veteran or military spouse, anywhere along the way of their transition, and they're looking to get into entrepreneurship, what kind of advice would you have for them?
Sure. So I guess the first thing I'd say is if you are trying to think through this financial security issue or money management, all the things we talked about, the easiest way to do that is the website. That's familyinc.com, or it's obviously sold at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And again, that's Family Inc. And in terms of advice I'd have for people, I think I would say if you're transitioning out of service, don't necessarily think about this as a one-step transition. In many circumstances, I think people take two or three steps to get to the point where they're comfortable with pursuing entrepreneurship. And the second is, I just think there are so many resources out there available to us all. And, you know, you really got to take full advantage and you go out of your way to exploit those resources and the network that we all have in a way to support yourself, but really get really good information as you think about taking the leap to entrepreneurship. Okay. I guess the last thing I'd say is, hey, listen, I think in general, entrepreneurship is a much safer way to financial security than most other paths. And it seems scary, but people are generally very well rewarded for taking the leap.
Absolutely. The guy with the big house on the top of the hill always works for himself, right?
Yeah. So the saying goes, right?
Yeah. All right, Doug. Well, hey, thanks for sharing the information on Bunker Labs and your own personal entrepreneurial story. Thanks for being here, and we look forward to your future success.
Hey, man, really appreciate the time.
You bet. These two veterans are Oscar Mike. As you can tell from listening to the Veteran on the Move podcast, interviews are a great way to tell your story and spread the word about your business. If you would like to get booked as a podcast guest, I recommend Interview Valet. You can check out Interview Valet at veteranonthemove.com/valet. Be sure to check out thrive15.com, the world's premier online education platform that helps entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs learn how to start or grow a successful business. Start your free 30-day membership by going to thrive15.com and use the promo code VETERAN. Thank you for listening to Veteran on the Move, your pathfinder to freedom. If you like the show, leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are always greatly appreciated. So until next time, this veteran is Oscar Mike.